11. Snowflake Accident. In the Seasons Time Mall, Lai Chun dragged herself through the crawl spaces. Ogre directed her to push out through a wall panel into an empty corridor celebrating Paris in the Spring, which she hadn't known was a religious or cultural festival, but whatever. In the perfume store, each glass bottle sat on a glass plinth in a glass vitrine containing intricate, tiny glass Paris street scenes, cobbled streets and lampposts, and the Arc de Triomphe. She looked at the crystallized world and saw red ice flesh skid across the floor. For a moment, she forgot when she was. Papers fall upward in the air, half charred. No, come back. This is not Hong Kong, and it is not a memory. Be here. She glanced at her wrist screen. The map had gone. A set of brief instructions remained. Leave the mall as normal. Go back to your hotel. Gather your things. Leave Singapore. Leave the mall as normal? As normal? A burst of rage chimed with the headache blooming in her left temple. How was she supposed to even remember what fucking normal was now? Acid rose in her throat, sour and fierce. She swallowed it back down. Normal would be, follow the signs for the metro, right? That was the kind of thing normal people did. Seasons Time Station between Orchard and Somerset on the Red Line. There, on one of the hanging signs, a red symbol of a snug train with two button eyes. She followed the red line on the floor, barely lifting her eyes from the symbols, pushed through a service door, and suddenly, she was in Holly, where the shop fronts were drenched with color, and a 50-foot Ganesha gazed with endless compassion at the bargain buckets lining the street. People were drifting back into the mall. Christmas and pumpkin spice were still closed after the snowflake accident, but that was no reason for commerce not to continue. Families with kids were buying fragrant gujia, lifted from the bubbling oil by teams of women in bright orange and pink saris. On the lower level, staff were handing out free packets of color to children under 15. A Korean man consulted his burst display to find out when Christmas would open again. People's eyes flicked to Chun, then away. There was simply too much to see, and Chun looked like shit. She pushed through a pink and green splattered side door to sudden bright sunshine. The Mass Rapid Transit Station was across a marked walkway. She checked the time. It felt like it had been about 6 hours since the first shot, but it had been just 73 minutes from start to finish. Jun got on a train. She sat down at Seasons Time Station and stood up at Marina South Pier. She felt flattened into a series of symbol manipulations. Stand up here, walk here, pattern match the words on the signs with the name of the hotel you woke up in this morning. Find the box symbol with matchstick people inside it, press the up arrow, pattern match the number on the plastic card in your pocket with the number on the door of a room, place the plastic card to the dark panel on the door, wait for the clunk. Jun stood in the hotel room she'd left just over 2 hours earlier. She tried to feel safe, warm, comfortable. It seemed to her that the walls were made of paper. She'd spent a large amount of her life thinking about, and in theory training for, the moment that civilization went to shit. It was just that, after Hong Kong, she'd never thought it would again go to shit specifically for her. That everyone else would carry on apparently as normal, and she would be left knowing that nothing was normal now or ever again. She'd done her time being milled by fortune, surely. Except, of course, that wasn't how it worked. She stood in the shower, pressed the spray button, and stood under the water until the smells of piss and blood and chemicals were gone. Put her sordid clothes into a carrier bag inside another carrier bag inside her suitcase. Wanted to sleep and thought, if I sleep now, they'll be waiting for me when I wake. She thought of trying to call Martha or Marius or her dad, but thought, the call will be traced. You're in shock, she said to herself. They'll be waiting or the call will be traced is precisely the sort of thing you think when you're too tired, too wired, have drunk too much coffee, have killed too many people with a bit of refrigerant tubing. Look, you think these things even on a good day, you paranoid asshole. Keep moving. Keep moving. Get out of Singapore is a good idea. She packed her suitcase. Had done this so many times, her hands worked without her having to think about it. Rolled the four-wheeled case out to a cab. Bought a ticket on her phone on the way to the airport, manipulating symbols on the glass screen that meant, leave the country by the earliest flight going anywhere. All the time, her mind was running scenarios in which she was stopped at passport checks as soon as she showed her face and name, allowed to board the plane, then dragged off by the police, caught as soon as she landed, wherever she landed, shot and killed by the cab driver in front of her. She got on a plane to Manila. No one stopped her in the airport, and as the plane took off, sleep overcame her as suddenly as anesthesia. When she landed, no one was waiting for her. She looked at her phone, and Augur was gone. No text box, no voice commands would activate it. Gone, as if it had never been there at all. She wrote down a few numbers, turned off her old phone, bought a burner phone and a new SIM in an airport store, and looked online at the Enochites. They had a sub-board on Name the Day, not that she ever went there. It was, inevitably, 30% actual Enochites and 70% people trying to mess with Enochites. Still, one thing was clear. The Enochites thought the end of days was coming soon. They were gathering evidence, piecing together prophecies with current events, matching one thing with another. They talked about a time of gathering that was approaching, when God would decide who was in pieces and who was whole. Jun looked around the airport concourse. If it was coming, where was it coming from? Everything she looked at reminded her of some threat she had read about somewhere. A Chinese man coughed into a dark-stained handkerchief. Black mold deaths were on the rise with no way to stop them. A Malaysian woman marched past in high-heeled boots, giving a list of tasks to her chat AI assistant, as if we might not be educating the bots into killing us right now. She stared at the row of glassware in the airport bar and remembered some theory she'd read about how materials, glass, concrete, metal, were simply failing at a vastly faster rate now than they did even 15 years earlier, leading to bridge collapses, ships sinking. It was nonsense, except if it wasn't. And which Enochite was going to believe some of the nonsense and try to prove themselves whole by killing her, the heretic? Without thinking too hard, she called Marius, the only person she knew who could get himself out of the kind of shit this call would get him into.
"Fuck you, Odd," said Marius when Shun said who she was.
That was Marius all over. "Never accept what you're told," Jun said. "This line's not secure. Can I come to you?" There was a long pause on the line. A click, and Jun thought Marius might have put the phone down. Another click.
"You in bad trouble," said Marius, and it wasn't a question.
"I need help."
"Come," said Marius. "We'll be in bad trouble together."